We're going to read some scripture tonight, y'all. So I do this because some of y'all never break open your Bible anyway, so we're going to get it all in on one night. It's going to get you ready for the whole week, maybe for the whole year. So this one, I'm going to go Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews 1, and we're going to read 1 through 3. And here's what we're going to do tonight. Now, you know, one of my mandates on my life is not only am I a pastor, but I'm also a theological voice in the community. Schooling is very important. That's why I went to school. That's why I have the credentials that I have. And I think that it is very imperative that we understand our Bible. The reason being is because there is a lot of deception that's taking place today. A lot of people are being deceived, and they're being deceived because the enemy, you got to quit thinking that a lie is false information. A lie is a false heart. It's not false information. Sometimes you'll have the right information, but it's coming from the wrong heart. See, truth is not just information. Truth is a person. It's Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to understand that we have to be equipped theologically. Now, if I did a school, I wouldn't get half the crowd that we have here today if I did a school. But since I got you today, we're going to do some teaching. And so, you know, we like to preach and get excited. But tonight, we're going to get into some real doctrine tonight as it relates to the person of Christ. Because if I was to ask you, what does it mean to be a Christian? We would have several answers from several different people. And that's understandable because we all come from different backgrounds. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? We live in a world to where we promote things that are anti-Christ but yet claim Christ at the same time. We have t-shirts that says something like half good, half holy. You might as well just translate that. I live a life half flesh, half spirit. Because that's really what you're promoting. I seen a post on social media the other day that, and it got a whole bunch of likes. And this is what concerns me about the body of Christ. I'm actually concerned that maybe what we are following, some of us, is not Christ at all. Some of us are following church, but we have not truly surrendered to Christ. And there was a post that said, some of y'all would pray for Goliath. Rather than, it went something like this. Some Christians would rather pray for Goliath rather than defeat him. And I said, that sounds cool, and there's a lot of likes on that. Because there's way more carnal people than spiritual. The problem I have with the post is my exampleship is not David, it's Christ. You need to get that. We are Christians. David is not your prototype. Christ is. David prayed all kinds of prayers that are illegal to your covenant. Create in me a new heart. Cast me not away from your presence. Hebrews tells us that he never leaves us or forsakes us. What changed? The covenant. Why did the covenant change? Because Jesus went to the cross and died. You are not under the law no more. And it is imperative that you live in the covenant that you have. The new covenant changed a whole lot of things, y'all. You are not under an old covenant. This is what needs to be taught. We're going to get into this tonight. So it's going to challenge some of you. But listen, I learned a long time ago, growth and being comfortable will never, ever be married. Listen, when you're going to grow, I promise you, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. And so tonight, it's my hope that we start to really examine what it means to be a real Christian. All right, now in the first century, which is where Christianity formed, they wasn't called Christians, and you'll hear that a lot. It was called the way. This is what it was called. To be a follower of Christ was to mean that you was a part of the way. Why would they call it a way? Because there is a way that once you commit to Christ that you're supposed to be walking. Right? There's a way. And it is so important that we get these things. So tonight, this is going to liberate some. It's going to free some. It's maybe going to challenge some. But either way, if we love God, we obey his commandments. Amen, somebody. All right, so Hebrews 1. Watch this. Why is this important? Because this is the book of Hebrews. These are the Hebraic thoughts as it pertains to new covenant models concerning the one they call Christos in the Greek, or Christ, right? Now, Christ was not Jesus' last name, right? Christ was his assignment in the earth. He was the messianic seed. Christ means the anointed one. He was the one smeared with the presence of God. That's what it means actually in the Greek. Okay, and so here's, this is very important. So when we talk about Christ in the earth, we have to understand what he came to do. Okay? Christ did not come to just forgive sins. That is a big misconception. Well, he came to go to the cross and die so we could all be forgiven. That's a part of it. That's a part of it. But the kingdom of God is threefold. The scripture teaches us that the kingdom of God is what? Peace, righteousness, and joy in the spirit. It's threefold. So there's many things happening with the life of Christ. And so I want to bring up an angle that I hope challenges you to start looking inwardly as you begin to live your life this week and say, "Huh, does that look like Christ?" And then we'll figure it out from there. Amen? All right, let's read here. Pastor Candace, where are you at? Yeah, let's go.
God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world.
Now watch this part. Big right here. Watch this.
And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature.
Right there. Jesus is the exact representation of who God is. If your view of God looks like David, you got the wrong image. If your view of God looks like Moses, you have the wrong image. If your view of God looks like Elijah, why do I say that? Because there is several people that without knowing it, they're serving an image of the Father, or image of God that is distorted. Why? Because what Moses taught is more important than what Christ did. What Elijah taught is more important than what Christ taught. We say, well, it's all in the Bible. It doesn't matter. The Bible is not all equal revelation. It finds its greatest expression, its final expression at Christ. You cannot take the words of Moses as seriously as you do the words of Christ. If what Moses said does not reflect the nature of Christ, you have every right to question it. Because the only person in the Bible that the scripture says that reflects the exact nature of the Father is Christ. It did not say Moses. It did not say Paul. You know, I have pastors come to me. What do you think about women pastors? The Bible clearly says they shouldn't be teaching. Come on. All the women just said, huh? Right. I said, I disagree with Paul. What? Pastor, it's Bible. What? Paul never said God said that. He said, I suffer not a woman to teach. And why would Paul say that? Because he was a chauvinist. Why was he a chauvinist? Because he was a Jew in the first century and they did not value women the way that they should. It's okay to question that. That's not antichrist to question that. Paul was trying to work through a system that was faulty. But you got to remember, Paul was still trying to figure out this stuff. When we read the letters of Paul, he was still evolving in his understanding of what was happening in his heart. Not every word he said, you got to remember, because in 1 Corinthians, he'll say, I suffer not a woman to teach. But he gets to Galatians, he's evolving at this point, and he says, there's neither male nor female. That there's no gender. What happened? He's growing. You don't believe, if you still believe what you believe the way you did 5 years ago, you're not growing. If you can say amen to everything you posted on Facebook 10 years ago, you're not growing. Critiquing oneself is proof that you're growing. I listened to some of the tapes I used to preach years ago. I said, man, I would run from that dude. which causes me now to view myself with more humility. To say, be careful what you teach now. Don't be so dogmatic, because you may not agree with it tomorrow. Right? Be careful of any leader who only sells dogma to you. Be careful of that. Be careful of leaders that you need them in order to hear from God. You'll make an idol out of somebody that was meant to be an inspiration. How do you know you're making an idol? Because you become tribal. The house means more than your relationship. The house is important. Where God puts you is important. Receive, just don't idolize. Amen. It's okay? So everybody say, Jesus is perfect theology. I want you to write that down. Jesus is perfect theology. Ooh, that's good. He's perfect theology. Nobody else in the Bible got it right 100% of the time. Jesus did, though. Trying to train tonight. Now watch this. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20, and we're going to read Pastor Candace 2 through 13. All right, Numbers. Now, where are we going? Old Testament, right? Now, this is Numbers. Why am I prefacing this? Because you need to understand the Old Testament is men staring at God, right? Looking, peering into a thing, but not having a full understanding of what they're seeing. Okay, so this is very important. So here, watch this. This is Numbers. This is what's happened. Children of Israel, they're out in the wilderness. We always want freedom until we realize that our freedom is still taking us to a wilderness. And then they started complaining, saying, take me back to Egypt. Most people want secure slavery over scary freedom. Take me back to Egypt. I don't want here. I got to trust a whole lot more. So watch this. They start complaining to Moses. Moses has had enough at this point. Tired of folk. Look, watch. Come on, let's read.
There was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there water to drink. Then Moses and Aaron came in from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to them.
You know what I love about that leadership? They was complaining and asking questions. You know what they did not do? Give them answers that they did not have. I love that. That says something about real leadership. If I have the answer every time you ask, something's wrong, y'all. I'm not all-knowing. No leader is all-knowing. I'm glad that they said, here's the question. We need to pray about this. And they took it before the Lord. So watch this. Watch what happens.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, and you and your brother Aaron assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes.
What did he say? Come on, y'all. What did he say? Speak to it, right? That's what he said. Now watch.
That it may yield its water.
Now what is the nature of God? God is what? God is what? God is love. So did God say to Moses, speak to that rock. Did he say it like that, or does love say, Moses, man, just speak to the rock. I got you. They're thirsty. I got you. Speak to the rock. How do you think his nature was spoken to Moses? From love. But look what happens.
You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock, and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And he said to them, listen now, you rebels.
Whoa. Where'd that come in at? God said nothing about a rebel. Who's frustrated here, God or Moses? Don't start adding to what God told you. So watch what happens.
Shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly.
Now, watch. Because we got a lot of scripture. I'm going to collapse time here. We know the passage. After God did the miracle, they drank. God turned to Moses and said, because you have done this in anger, you are not going to the promised land yourself. In anger. What was the issue here, guys? This is all relevant because we're talking about Christ being the perfect theology. What was the issue? The issue is, it wasn't about the miracle. It wasn't about him satisfying thirst. It was about God wanting them to understand his nature. Moses heard from a loving God, turned around in frustration, still give him the drink, but he distorted the glory of God. Why though? Why was that a big deal? Because the people did not have a direct relationship with the Father. So how Moses responds is how they perceive God to be about feel about them. Why is that important? Because now they're walking around going, man, thanks God, but they're scared. What's the real sin? They're not seeing him as a father. That's always been the issue in the Old Testament. God's trying to father us. The problem is that we have been sitting under models and paradigms of God as a provider, but also God as a tyrant. And then all of a sudden, we get to Christ, and Jesus looks completely different than everybody's perspective. But you got to pay attention to him because he's still providing. He's still healing. He's still opening blind eyes. He's raising the dead. You gotta give him attention. But Jesus' biggest issue was, I've got to get you guys to see Pops ain't like that. This man is the guy in the prodigal son story that runs to the younger son, the one who failed. He's the guy that takes off his shoes and he runs and he hugs his son. He said, son, it's home. It's time to party. Not what have you done? You're just home. God did not say to Adam, Adam, what have you done? He said, Adam, where are you? What you've done is not as important as why you are hiding. You have a knowledge base, Adam, that's faulty thinking. You think because you've done something that I'm not going to be a father. Fathers show up in the most critical times. Real dads, you do not have to beg them for their affection. We force it. Because we love. We're born of love. Everybody just lift your hands and say, God, show me you love me. See, Jesus is trying to get the message to the people. Guys, you're missing this. He's nothing like this. Look here. Let's go to Matthew 5. This all right tonight? Matthew 5. We learned it tonight. Look, Matthew 5. I'm going to hurry this up. Matthew 5. Let's read. I can't see even what I wrote down. Matthew 5, 38 through 48. Major teaching of Christ. Am I a Christian? If you are, this should be how you respond in life. Let's read.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Now, let me give you some theology here. You see why that's capital letters there? It's because he's quoting the Old Testament. Where did they hear it? They heard it from the Old Testament. Why was that a problem? Because Jesus is trying to condemn something that was written in the Old Testament. He's telling them, listen, this is what you heard. I'm telling you, this was never my Father's intentions. God don't do eye for eye. He don't do that. He's not vindictive. That is the heart of the Father. They hit me, so I got to hit them back. That's wrong teaching. That's not how the kingdom emerges. Your flesh will be satisfied, but you're quenching the spirit. We live in a world to where we want enough of God to get the resources, but not enough to change. This is why everybody wants Jehovah Jireh. Why? Because it's what? It's more than enough. But you don't do good with more than enough. You do better with daily bread. Because we mismanage more than enough. Thank God for his nose. That's a good place to say amen. Or ouch. One of the two. Look it. You've heard it said. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not... Look at this. Resist an evil person. Go ahead and read for me, Pastor Candace. I don't even know where you're at.
But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also.
Now, Jabin, I want to demonstrate. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just joking. I was going to let you slap me, by the way. Listen, everybody's like, that good preaching until you're used for that one. But he says, give him the other cheek also. See, that's really hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's very hard to do. That's just not talking about slapping. See, as long as you and I, and this is why people think Christianity is weak. You soft. You want to hit back? No, no, no. It takes way more strength to love you. Way more strength to love you. Because while you're swinging in anger, your life is going down the drain. I'm willing to suffer so that you can find life. And the beauty of it all is the more I suffer, the more I find life. My strength, my weaknesses is where his strength is made perfect. There's a reason why the first century church grew. Why? Persecution. What's coming to America? Persecution. It's on its way. It's on its way. What's it going to do? It's going to draw a line in the sand. Everybody who's really in this because of the heart of Christ or those who are just good church members. Amen, Pastor Gail. Look at this. Continue to read, Pastor Candace.
If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Now, this is very important because there's a lot of context here. I don't have time to get into all of the stuff here, but let me say, in all things, you got to be led by the Spirit. What Jesus is teaching here, to sum it up, because there's going to be people who ask me for my shirt, I'm not going to give it to you. It doesn't mean I'm not following Christ. Maybe you're looking to use my shirt for something or use something you're asking of me for something that is going to further something that is harming you in the long run. And I have to hear the Spirit on that. However, what I'm not going to do is abandon you. What Jesus is trying to get us to see is that we ultimately have a ministry of reconciliation. And when you love right... This whole concept of, ooh, once you show me who you are, I believe him. No, Paul said, no man after the flesh. No man after the flesh. When they show you who you are, pray for them. And remind them who they are. Because what they're walking out ain't the real them. We're so quick to cut people off. Why? Because you don't know Christ the way you think you do. Man, he ain't cut you off. How are you going to cut them off? You think you don't have no sin? John said, if you say that, you're a liar and do not know God. He that said he has no sin is a liar and does not know God. I love the New Testament teaching where Jesus says, listen, forgive your brother so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. What is he trying to get you to see? He's trying to get you to see that while we were yet sinners, every sinner that has sinned in this house, let me see your hands. While you was at your worst, he saw it, he jumped on a cross, and he died. He's asking you to return the favor. That's what that's about. Whew, that's the cross life, y'all. If you follow after me, why do you think Jesus had to tag disciples? Because he had to tag them and say, follow me, because nobody would want to follow anybody that's telling them to lay their life down. Not in the flesh. No, man, I gotta get mine. I gotta do me. I gotta make sure I get the bag. I gotta make sure I do, and willing to step on anybody to get it. That's not the way of the kingdom, guys. It's not the way of Christ. This is why Jesus transformed the world. Do you realize that he was teaching this in the first century when they was already captive to Rome? The Jewish people has been the most persecuted people ever. Their entire existence, whether it was Nebuchadnezzar, whether it was Babylon, whether it was Persia, whether it was Rome, Egypt, their entire existence. They've been in slavery their entire existence. And here comes their Savior that they're waiting for. They're the guy that's going to gather all of them, and they're going to get to fight back and get their freedom, right? And this joker talking about love them? What? No, I want violence and I want force. That's why the Bible said the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom? Peace, rights, and joy. It suffered violence. And the violent took it by force. What's he saying? Is that there's no permission for violence in the kingdom. That's what that means. It suffered violence. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. Are you a Christian? Are you a peacemaker? Or are you the one that's stirring up the drama? Are you the one that struggles with unforgiveness? It takes pride to harbor unforgiveness because you have to act as if you've never needed forgiveness. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Woo. The teachings of Christ is offensive to the flesh. It's offensive to our flesh. Our flesh wants to fight back. Our flesh wants to protect us. Our flesh wants to lean to its own understanding. Our flesh comes to all kinds of reasoning. Our flesh has been all kinds of beat up. That's why some people fall into deception, because it appeals to the flesh. Somebody comes to you with a bright idea, some doctrine, something that feels good to the flesh. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going with that. That's true. No, it ain't. You're just all flesh. That's not the teachings of Christ. And before you say Jesus was pro-Jew, no, he wasn't. Because both places in the New Testament where he said you have great faith was both the Gentiles. And then Scripture says that God so loved the world, not the Jew. Everybody is God's creation. And our job is to love each other the way that he loved us. That's the gospel. Amen, somebody. Real quick, 1 John 3. I'm going to read fast here. This okay tonight? Y'all with me? For God so loved the world. I love that passage. But we're going to 16. Yeah, let's read.
For God so loved the world that he gave
his... No, let's go to verse 16.
That is.
Yeah, 1 John. Yep, not John. 1 John. Hey, that fit though, Eric. I preach that too. 1 John. Let's read. I'm going to read it here. By this we know love. Y'all ready for this? Oh, my God. Everybody just lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, make this passage alive to me. Oh my God, look at this right here. He says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. What does love do? And we, what? It was good when it was him laying his life down, but it don't stop there. He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. I don't want to go to a church that tells me to lay down my life. I want to go to a church that empowers me to be great. Your greatness is found in your dying, not your living. It's found in your dying, not your living. You want your marriage to work? Die for each other. What's the problem in your marriage? Flesh. Simple. There's marriage counseling 101. Just saved you a whole bunch of Dr. Phil episodes. But if anyone has, what? The world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Your heart only has one portal, only has one door. Only one way in, one way out. You can't receive the love of God in the same door that you're harboring something against God's will. Little children, let us not love the world. Notice that he called us children there. Man, why is he saying that? Because they don't have a revelation of the love of God. What makes you an adult is how you walk out love. Age is never what makes you an adult in the kingdom. It's how you walk out love. You're a child if you do not walk out love. Love is the key to making everything in your life line up with God's intentions. My God, do not let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Don't tell me you love me, show me. Don't talk about I love you, Pastor Gail, and you're nowhere to be found when I need you. Pastor, I don't have the money to help. I didn't ask you for money. I asked you for love. Look at this. A couple more scriptures. Luke chapter 9, 28 through 36. Watch this. Go ahead and read.
Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray.
See, that's what mountaintops are for, is prayer. It's not celebration. Mountaintops are for prayer. It's not to rejoice because you got there. Why are you praying? Because the only way, the next move off of every mountaintop is another valley. We don't jump from mountaintops to mountaintops. So you need to pray while you're up there because you're going down from here. And down doesn't mean that you, down doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Every growing part in your life will come from a valley. You have become who you are with valleys. Oh, man. Oh, my God. And you know what sucks about a valley is all you got to do is look to the right or left and you can see what you used to have. Oh, I was there a minute ago. Yeah, but it's time to grow. You always got to go down before you ever become. Don't curse God when you start losing. Because it's in your losing you start gaining. This is the gospel tonight. Look here. And so watch what happens. James and John went to the mountain to pray. Watch this. Look here.
And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him. And they were Moses and Elijah.
Woo, big, big thing. What's Moses stand for? What was Moses? The lawgiver, right? Let's fix that real quick. Moses was the lawgiver. What was Elijah, though? The judgment prophet. Elijah, his mantle was judgment. Remember two kids? Elijah was a bald man. And y'all gonna keep messing with me. I'm gonna come in here with hair one time. with some leather. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Absolutely not. But he was a bald man. The kids was making fun of him. He cursed him. A bear came out of the woods and ate him up. That sound like a loving God? Come on, man. You calling me bald? You got to be eaten by a bear? He was a judgment prophet. Everything he prophesied was in judgment. Now watch me, guys. Come on. Let's settle this in here. Everything he prophesied was judgment. So here's Jesus, the exact representation of Father. He's in the middle. He's talking to the lawgiver, and he's talking to the judgment prophet. Whether you know it or not, everybody in this room views God through one of these three. You either view God, everything's law. How do you know that? Because the rule means more than the person. You're religious, you don't know it, right? Come on, somebody. Remember I taught you before where Jesus looks at the woman and says, you without sin cast the first stone. Then he tells her to go and sin no more. If go and sin no more means more to you than not throwing stones, you're religious. Right? So watch this. Moses, the law guy, then you got the judgment guy. Now watch what happens though. Why would they be here in this circle? Watch what happens.
Who appearing in glory were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three tabernacles, one for
you. See, that's the problem with the church. We're trying to swallow every image that we see of God in the Bible. That's the problem. That's why we have a distorted image of the Father. You have law. You're making a soup, a theological soup of law and judgment and then Christ. And you're wondering why you don't understand Christ, because you're trying to view him through an image that was distorted. This guy couldn't go into the promised land for a reason. Here's Jesus. Now watch what happens here. This is very key. God shows up. And watch what happens. Peter trying to tabernacle these jokers. Quit doing that. Watch.
And one for Moses and one for Elijah, not realizing what he was saying.
Here we go.
While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them.
I got it.
And they were afraid as they entered the cloud.
Here's the point.
Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son.
This guy right here in the middle.
My chosen one. Listen to him.
The scripture will say, hear ye him. What's he saying? Quit interpreting me through law and quit trying to figure me out through judgment. Hear him. Why was that important? Why did he take Peter, James, and John? Because they was going to write about Christ. They needed to know what model to reflect. My God. John 14, 8 through 10. I got two more and we're done. You guys still with me? Here's another passage. Here's Jesus walking the earth. Watch. Look what happens. Here's Philip.
Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us.
What did Hebrews say of Jesus? What did we talk? First verse tonight. He's the what? Come on, guys. This is why we come to VEC, because we learn this stuff. I'm not just hooping and preaching at you. We're teaching you tonight. You got to know this stuff. What is Jesus? The exact representation of the Father. Right? Anything that you don't see in Jesus, you have a right to question it. Right? So, here's Philip. He says, show us the Father. Look at what Jesus says to him.
Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?
So, but why? As she's reading this, look, why wouldn't he recognize that Jesus is the exact same? Because he's been trained through the law of Moses. Paul said, and this is what, there's a rise of Judaism that's happening right now in the urban communities. I'm telling you, run from it. It's Judaism. It was Paul's biggest hindrance in the new covenant. It's nothing more than Judaism. That's all it is. And the truth is, Paul said, he told him in Galatians, who bewitched you? You started in the spirit, you ended back up in works. No, we're saved by faith through grace. It's not works. It's not works. And Paul talked about it. And so watch this. Paul said this in the new covenant. He said, when you teach Moses or law, a veil erects in their heart that hinders them from seeing the truth. Arguing with somebody whose allegiance is to Moses, you're never going to win them by an argument because information does not cure deception. Don't matter how accurate it is. Information does not cure deception, only surrender. My God. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your breath. Deception looks for platform. Love looks for opportunity. It's different. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, when we get to heaven, the white man's going to be serving the black man. I said, well, why wait? What do you need? What do you need? I'm walking heaven on earth. What do you need now, man? I'll serve you there and I'll serve you here. Either way, man, Jesus said to Peter, unless you let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. Be a foot washer. You want to start walking in the kingdom? Start washing feet. Start serving people. Start helping people. Slaves don't serve. Sons do. Slaves work. Sons serve. This is the gospel, guys. This is why it's offensive to the flesh. Philip, he said, do you not, go ahead and read, Pastor Kansas, I promise I'm going to interrupt this time.
Do you not believe
But
that
the thing is that we got, no, I'm just joking. You knew I had to. Go ahead.
Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?
In me.
The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works.
The one passage in another translation will say, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Nobody in the Bible claimed that. Only Jesus. What is that saying? He's perfect theology. If you do not see it in Christ, you have every right to question it. Everything Paul taught that was right about God was in alignment to the life of Christ. He is the pinnacle of revelation. He's in the middle of the book, but he is the pinnacle of revelation. Amen, somebody. Last point, and I'm done. 2 Corinthians 5. Watch this. This is going to mess up the whole flesh conversation. Look here. Here's Paul talking.
Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Oh, you want to be in the ministry? What is it? It's not a church. God ain't giving you a church, man. He's giving you a people to help reconcile. That's where it starts. He said that you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. What do you want to be in the ministry? Start reconciling people. That's where it starts. So this whole thing that we're dealing with in this culture, man, they do you wrong, cut them off. That's not reconciliation. That's sure not the heart of Christ. It's not the heart of Christ. Matter of fact, I question if those people that say that even know Christ at all. Like, at all. You know church. But do you know Christ? He laid his life down for his enemies. He didn't just talk about it. He went to the and died a brutal death to show you I'm willing to go to the cross. In my book, I don't know if you guys read my book, Explaining Grace, one of the points I bring out that I love is that he did not say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's not what the Greek says. It's doing. I'm forgiving them while they're still doing it. You're forgiven. And his sacrifice changed the world. This is the heart of Christ, that we lay our lives down for each other. This whole thing, I want to get my best life now. Man, guys, run from that stuff. God has got a plan in the future for you, and he's got things that he's going to equip you to do. He wants you to be successful in everything that you lay your hands to. But listen, man, that all comes from a seed falling to the ground and dying. You don't chase your dreams. You chase the Father. Everything, and when I say chase, it's me saying, seek him first, right? He'll lead you in a way that will equip you so that you walk out the plan that's on your life. But don't get thirsty for it. Stay connected to the heart of the Father. He'll align you to the people that you need to be aligned to develop whatever gift he's trying to develop so you can be a person of influence. Always about what God can do through me to help somebody else. The greatest revelation is how are we demonstrating Christ to each other? Someone hurt you, forgive them. Somebody does you wrong, love them. Doesn't mean you can't speak truth to them, but do it in love. Not with love, but in love. You should be in love with each other from an agape perspective. This is convicting. Because we want to hit back in the flesh. We want to hit back in the flesh, guys. Our flesh wants to look out for us. We're always trying to figure things out in the flesh, leaning to our own understanding. I'm telling you, man, the kingdom is different. This is why Jesus is the most popular person in all of history for a reason, because his teachings are divine. Why would a Jew that has been under bondage the whole entire ethnicity for forever, why would he finally come and have all the influence to fight back and tell these people to love their enemies? Because God in all of his wisdom realizes this is the only way to fix things. If an eye for an eye, if you hit me and then I hit you and you train your kids to hate my kid, it never ends. It never ends. It's a cycle of hate. This is why Martin Luther King Jr. was such a figure. He was named after Martin Luther, the reformer, the Protestant reformer. He was such a figure because he preached a nonviolent atonement. And didn't just preach it. He lived it. You don't think he knew that there was going to be assassination attempts? He's preaching a gospel to people that want to hit back. Because why? We've taken too much. And he said, that's not the way the kingdom works. You hit back, they're going to hit back. And it keeps going over and over and over. It never ends. We are not in our flesh wanting to lay our lives down. I'm telling you, that's how it happens. You're going to have to realize that when you lay your life down, he fights your battle. I'm not saying don't make progressive efforts for peace and equality and all the things across the board. Do all that. Make sure you're doing it from the right heart. They're not your enemy. They're your assignment. You will never win what you hate. Let's stand to our feet. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.